Praise God. We have been going through the book of Corinthians on Thursday night for a long time. And we got a long way to go. We're just halfway through chapter 7 right now. And as we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, yes, right after, just before 2 Corinthians, 7 is just after 6 and just before 8. As I was doing this, this is a pretty difficult piece of scripture right here. And last week, as we talked about, it was about love and marriage, you know, how we ought to stay married, how we ought to live as Christ has called us, and that divorce, God hates divorce. We talked about why God hates divorce. It talks about one of the reasons that God allows divorce, and sometimes He allows us to divorce if the unbelieving spouse just decides to leave. I mean, you can't lock them in the basement, you know. And so if they decide to leave, then let them leave. And if they do, then you're under no obligation. Yeah, honey?
What if you're a Christian, you get together, but then your spouse or yourself stops leaving?
Well, God has a special place for them. When we get to Hebrews, you can talk about it. And, well, you know, if in the world today, you can't force somebody to stay with you. And you can't force them to stay with you. You just can't do it. And so the Bible does say that God hates divorce. So you know, if you go that route, do all that you can to hold it together. Because you might hate each other today and love each other tomorrow. You know, it's something that can be worked out. We know a couple who actually got divorced and got separated, got saved, and came back together and made this beautiful family. I mean, just absolutely, God loves them, and it's in their family and it's in their kids and stuff, and it's absolutely fantastic what God can do. But I do understand what you're saying. There are those times, you know, when you can't do anything, and as much as we would like to or think that it's right, it's illegal to chain them in the basement. You can't do it. And so if they decide that they want to go, then they got to go, you know. And my son claimed to be a Christian, okay. And, I was there when he accepted Jesus Christ. I won't say that he ain't saved. But I will say that he's living in a open, sinful lifestyle. And because he is saved, God will judge him. Because he's God's son, more so than mine. And God will allow him to go so far. And he'll allow him to fall, and when he falls, then he'll decide, well, like the prodigal son, you know, the prodigal son took the father's inheritance, went and spent it on worldly living, and then he lost all of his money. A famine came into the land. God brought the famine to humble the boy. Okay, and when the boy got tired of eating the out of the pig's trough, he said, in my father's house, even the servants have a place to eat and a place to sleep. And so he humbled himself and said, I got to go back to the Father. And every Christian has that ability. You can always come back to the Father, you know, because that's what God wants us to do. He knows that we're all like that prodigal son. We have it in us. We want to run and do our own thing. But God says, you know, I love you, and I'm willing to take you back. You know, just quit eating with the pigs, man. You know, you got to quit eating with the pigs. And when you do, then God will call you back, and you'll be safe and sound. And God will love you in the middle of that. And God can take ashes, make something beautiful out of it. Because I'm a divorced man. My wife is a divorced woman. We have kids from separate marriages. Okay? But God has took something ugly and made it beautiful. He really does. We got some the best looking grandkids on the planet. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Much. I've seen your grandkids. No. Yeah, I did. Yeah. Uh-huh. And so I'm thinking, I love you, and you leave yourself open for that one. And anyhow, in Corinthians chapter 7, and now we're over in 17. And as God had impressed it on Paul to write these words down, I need to ask God's direction as we go through this. Dear Father, I pray even now that you would anoint me, that I would be able to speak and teach this portion of Scripture with honor and grace, and that your name would be magnified here. And Lord, we just thank you and we praise you for that as we go over this. Lord, I need your guidance, especially in the latter parts of this. Lord, lead, guide, direct me. I ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. And it says, the subtitle here is, Live as You Are Called. And he starts writing, but as God has distributed to each one, as the Lord has called each one, so let him walk. And so I ordain all the churches. Okay, so what Paul is saying right here in the very first part is God has called you. God has given you a vocation. God has given you something. He's allowed you to come into His family, and He says, all right, now you're ordained here. You are to be a light shining in the darkness. You're called to stay where you're at, to do the things that you're called to do right there. Unless the Lord really impresses on your heart that you've done your work here and it's time for you to move on. Okay? And then that's when you move. That's when you can move. But outside of that, you need to stay pretty much where you're at. And we're going to be looking at this. Paul calls it the circumcision and the uncircumcision. All right, and I guess I better read the next verse, or we really won't know what I'm talking about. Was anyone called while he was circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Was anyone called while he was uncircumcised? Well, don't let him be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing and uncircumcision is nothing, but keep the commandments of God. This is what matters. Okay, now, when we think of circumcision, we got to go back to the book of Genesis to find out why circumcision came into play. What was it? Circumcision was a covenant that God made with Abraham. Okay, and he said, I'm going to give you the land. I'm going to bless you. But I want you to be a different people. Okay, I want you to be a different people. So what I want you to do is take every male and to circumcise them. Okay, and so that rite of circumcision went from Abraham all the way up until Jesus. Well, it still goes on today, but the law was completed at the cross. Okay? The law of circumcision was completed at the cross. Now God doesn't care so much if we have the circumcision down here. It's the circumcision in here. It's the circumcision of the heart. And what that was showing in Abraham's day is that I'm willing to cut away my flesh. I'm willing to cut away my flesh from the most dearest part of my body, in fact. I'm willing to give that to God, all right? And I'm going to walk in a circumcised lifestyle. Okay, that means I am completely and totally surrendered to Jesus Christ. All right, that's what the circumcision stood for. That's what it meant. It was a covenant between Abraham and his descendants, the Hebrew peoples, and God. All right, it was never meant for the Gentile people. It's not a covenant that we can step into because this covenant was, it's like the land covenant that God gave to Abraham and all of his descendants. The land belongs to Israel. It doesn't belong to Americans. It doesn't belong to the Turks. It doesn't belong to the Arabians. It belongs to Israel. It was given to Israel by God. All right? Nobody can take it away because the only person who has the right to give any of it was God. And God gave it to a particular breed of people called the Hebrews or the Jews, the Israelites. He gave that to them. And we can't say that their land is our land, okay, because it was given to them. This covenant of circumcision was for the Jews. Okay, it was for the Jews. Now, it doesn't mean that you should or should not be circumcised when you're a child. That has nothing to do with this portion of Scripture. What he is saying, though, is if you were born here, let me put it in our terms, something that we could understand. Was any of you called when he was a Catholic? Okay, let's put it like that. Were you called into the light, into the power of Jesus Christ when you were a Catholic? Okay, if you were saved, anointed by the Holy Spirit while you were a Catholic, there's no reason for you to leave the Catholic Church. Now I know you're going, oh, what do you mean? Well, why not be a light in that dark place? God illuminated you with His power, with His Spirit, that you could be right there. That you could be there sharing the love of Jesus Christ with the people who are caught by a religious system. Okay, and why can't you, by the power of God, go in that place? You were born there, you were baptized there, but now you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. You have the power of God resting on you. Why not go there and talk to the priest and get him saved? You know? Why not go there and talk to one of the nuns and tell them about a son of God that loves them so much and gave them a way out of their religion and into a relationship? They'll hate you for it. They'll probably kick you out. You won't have to leave. They'll throw you out. But, you know, that's beside the point. Until you're forced out, stay where you're at. Stay where you're at. If you were called into the love of Jesus Christ when you were working in, I don't know, Wendy's. All right? That's the most sinful place. McDonald's. No. A bar. All right, let's go to a bar. Now, I'm not saying, yeah, I am. I guess this is what the Lord wants me to say. If you're called and this is your job and this is what you're doing to pay your bills, all right, and you show up there as a Christian in the bar, as a bartender, why not? Why not? I mean, if God has called you there and He's anointed you with His Spirit to be there, why not be there? Okay? You're not doing anything against the law of God. I mean, you're holding a job down. It's 40 hours. It pays your bills. Okay? So if you are called until you're run out of that job or until the Holy Spirit says this is enough, because He does do that for folks. He says, you can't do this anymore because, you know, this is hurting your walk with me, and so now it's time to leave. But that happens in every Christian life. That happens to everybody who is born and has been circumcised in the heart by the scalpel of Jesus Christ. You know, when He comes and He cuts away that dead meat around your heart and trims up all the fat places and He brings in the life and the power of God, He changes you from who you are to who He would have you to be. And you might start somewhere. When I really surrendered my life to Jesus Christ, I was a drunk. Okay? I was a cigarette smoking, pothead, womanizing drunk. Okay? And God just didn't, you know, pow, poof, there you are, you're never doing that again. It took years of Holy Ghost training to get me from where I was to where I am. Okay? It took a long time. See, God didn't say, all right, now you're saved, now you're so pious, I don't want you to go there anymore. You know, what He did say is, you're saved, I love you where you're at, now let your light so shine among men. Let your light so shine among men. So what Paul is saying here to the Hebrew people, if you're a Jew and you're called a Jew, don't leave your synagogue. Okay, you don't have to leave the synagogue. What you need to do is shine Jesus Christ there. And if you were a Gentile, you were not circumcised like a Jew, there's no sense in you doing that. There's no sense in you joining the Jewish religion, okay, to get you closer with God. You're already as close to a God as you'll ever get on the earth. You know, because you're saved. And when Jesus Christ loves you, He doesn't love you some. He loves you to the utmost. When you truly surrender to the power of God, He doesn't love you this much. He loves you from side to side, east to the west. He loves you as big as the cross is. He loves you with every drop of blood that was in His body. He loves you to that point, and He will empower you to be who He needs you to be in the position that you're at. Okay? Where you are, is the light that's in you, is it shining into the darkness that's around you? That's the question here. It isn't a question of, are you a Catholic, or are you a Baptist, or are you a Presbyterian, or are you Episcopalian, or are you this, or are you that? Are you circumcised, or are you uncircumcised? It says right there that the circumcision means nothing. You need to be obedient to the Word of God. It doesn't matter what you're doing or where you're at in your vocation in life. If you were called when you were a mechanic, don't quit being a mechanic because everybody says dirty words around me when I'm a mechanic. You know? I was a floor installer. I was a carpenter, you know? And, you know, I crawl around and people spit all day. I'm a floor guy, you know? That's what they do. It spit. It doesn't hover. It lands on the ground. Everybody chews tobacco or smokes cigarettes on the construction site. And so who gets to crawl in it? The floor guy, you know? And so, but it didn't make, when I accepted Jesus Christ, it did not make me stop my vocation to be a witness for Him. Okay? He didn't call me out of floor covering. I installed floor covering until I became a pastor. And when I became a pastor, God said, all right, now you got to change jobs. Okay? Because you can't serve mammon and me. I fed you in the wilderness for 30 years. Okay? I fed you while you were there. I supplied your income. I gave you food. I paid your bills. I gave you an income by the labor of your hands. Now you got to walk by faith. That means you can't do this. You're coming over here to do this. That's why I quit floor covering. That's why I stopped doing it and I started walking in the obedience of Jesus Christ. Scary. Scary, 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 because my whole life I've always done it with my own hands. But God said, no longer. You're going to do it by faith, and you can't see it coming. It's just going to come. It's faith. It's a scary thing. And He said, if you're uncircumcised, let him not become circumcised. Circumcision, your religion is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing. But keep the commandments of God. This is what matters. Are you doing what God has called you to do? Are you following the commandments of God? We ain't talking about the Big Ten. Okay, there's two commandments that Jesus said overrules all the commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, right? Love your neighbor as yourself. If you do these, you fulfill the law and the prophets. Okay, if you're loving folks the way that you're supposed to love people, nothing else really matters. And if you're loving them with the way that you're supposed to, you're fulfilling the commandments anyhow. You know, if you love people, you ain't going to talk nasty about them. If you love people, you ain't going to be stealing from them. If you love them, you ain't going to be taking their wife. If you love them, you ain't going to be coveting the stuff that they have. You know, if you love God, you're not going to be worshiping anything that they worship. You know? So that's why it's written that way, you know, that there's two great commandments. Love the Lord thy God with all your strength, soul, and mind. And love your neighbor as you love yourself. No man has ever hated his own flesh. I hate me. No, you don't. You're just mad because other people don't love you as much as you love yourself. You know, that's the problem. Nobody loves me as much as I love me, so I feel bad. So get over it. Quit whining. And live as you were called. Walk forward in grace. So let each one remain the same as he was called in which he was called. When were you called? While a slave or a servant? Don't be concerned about it. But if you can be made free, rather use it. All right. Back in this day and time, especially in the Church of Corinth, there were two types of people. There were slaves. There were the haves and the have-nots. Okay. And the have-nots didn't. What was that? Wall Street folks that hung around Wall Street and Occupy Wall Street people. They didn't have the right to complain like that because if you did, you got killed. You know, it really kept that rioting thing down real small. You know. And so if you left your master and you went and camped out over in Rochester Park for all winter long, you know, they'd just come drag you home and change. But anyhow, that was in the Corinthian days. That was way back a long time ago. So you either were a slave. And he says, if you're a slave, don't be concerned about it. If you're a common laborer in the common market, don't worry about it. Don't worry if whatever your vocation is. Don't sweat it. That's who you are. That's okay. Be Jesus Christ there. You be His hands, you be His eyes, you be His ears, right there in the middle of whatever you're doing. Mortician. You always never get callbacks, you know. But don't quit your job. Don't quit your job just because you don't think it's something that you ought to do. You know, don't stop being. And it says that if you're a free man, that means you're a person that has all the privileges and all the money in the world, that kind of stuff. Well, use it for good. You know, don't hoard it up. Don't be nasty about it. Try to outgive God. Man, I tell you what, it is fantastic trying to outgive God because He's got a lot bigger purse than you do. You know, He really does. It's a man purse. Da-da-da. No, it's huge. It's huge. God says, the Bible says that He has a cattle on 1,000 hills. Right? That's a lot of beef. That's a lot of livestock. You know? And if He has that much livestock and He cares for the sparrow that falls out of the tree, how much more does He care for you and me? You know? And He does love you. He loves you so much, He's willing to give you a cow. Move over. And so, whatever you need, if we live like we ought to, God will provide for us. In fact, it tells us in Matthew, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. What are the things? It's food, clothing, shelter. So what do we got to do? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. If you're whatever vocation you have, stay in that vocation and you walk in the righteousness of Christ there. You know, you be what you got to be there. At school, you say, well, I don't have a job. I go to school. Well, be Jesus Christ in your school. Start a Bible club. Hint, 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 hint. Start a Bible club. Invite your pastor to come teach it. Hint, 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 hint. And so it's, if you need help, we'll print up some papers, okay? Whatever it takes. You know, you be a light in a dark place. You step out with faith. You step out in grace. And you step out and say, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And today, cow mom, here comes Jesus. I ain't Him, but I am His ambassador. I am, when you look at me, you're looking at the hands and the feet of Jesus Christ. And I'm here to love you, you bully. Come on, let me grab a hold of you. And hug them up, you know, love them up. In whatever vocation you're called, you be Christ. If you're a slave, don't be concerned about it. If you're a servant, don't be concerned about it. But if you're free, if you're a rich man, use it for the gospel. Use it for what God has called us. For he, that is God, who called you in the Lord while a slave, is the Lord's free man. Oh, I love that. Did you catch that? In 22, for he who is called in the Lord while he's a slave is the Lord's free man. Did you get, all right, you might be a slave in life, but in Christ you are free. You've been free from the bondage of sin, hell, and death. You are free to be a lover of Jesus Christ. You are free to share His grace, His compassion, wherever you're at. You are free. You're not bound up by the chains of darkness anymore. Jesus, the Lord God, has set you free. Free at last, free at last. Here comes Jesus. Get off my back. And so, here you are. You are indeed Christ. You're Christ manifested. You, when people see you, don't act like you're something you're not. You act like who you are. If you are, if you're a Catholic, then you be a saved Catholic. If you're a Baptist, then you be a saved Baptist. If you were a servant and your dad is the janitor somewhere or whatever, and you don't feel like you're good enough or whatever, you be the best son of a janitor that you can be. You love God, and regardless of the vocation, regardless of your religion, you stand up for the glory and the power of Jesus Christ. You love Him to the utmost and watch Him honor you. You know, because you're free. You are free. You are free. Free at last, free at last. I accept Jesus Christ. I'm free at last. There ain't none can hold you back. You're no longer bound by this world. You're no longer bound by anything that can constrain you, because Jesus Christ bled on the cross. When those nails were drove in His hands and His feet and that crown was put on His head, that was the key to let you loose so that you can be His life here on this earth. He said that I will not leave you comfortless, but I will send a helper. That means one like me. And when He means like me, exact replica. You have the power of Jesus Christ, the great I Am, living in you if you have been set free by Jesus Christ. And with that comes responsibility. You know, an ambassador represents his king. Yeah, that's what you do. You know, you don't represent Charity Bible. Who cares about this place? You represent Jesus Christ. You represent God. You represent His love, His compassion. You represent something more than I can. I mean, I can't even begin to tell you what it is to be a Christian. You know, until you start walking it, because you don't know how far you can go with Him. But I know if you don't go with Him, you can't go anywhere without Him. You know, either you're free, or you're not free. I like it when he said that in verse 22. For he who called you in the Lord while you were a slave, you are the Lord's free man. It doesn't matter the shackles of the world that is on you. You are free because of Jesus Christ that is in you. He has set you free. Man, that's just cool to me. Likewise, who was called when he was free? Then you're Christ's slave. Did you catch that? All right, so you were born with a silver spoon in your mouth and you don't think you need anything. Well, you're a slave of Jesus Christ. You know, you are. But you ought to be free to rest in His... I won't call it chains. I want to call it a loving embrace. Because you don't have Jesus. Jesus has you. You know, it's kind of like walking with that little two-year-old in a Walmart parking lot. Yeah, and he wants to get away. Oh, let me go. I got to run. And you're just holding on to him. His little feet barely touching the ground, you know, that kind of stuff. And, you can let go of me all you want, kid. I got you. And Jesus is, God's saying the same thing. You might think that you have the world by the things, you know, those things, by the toenails. You think you got the world. You got a tiger by the tail, right? No. No, you don't. Jesus Christ has you. You think you got it because you got all the wants. All of your wants are taken care of. All of your cares are taken care of. You were born a free man. I'm a free man. Well, you need to be a slave to Jesus Christ. You are not your own. You've been bought with a price. And the precious price was the blood of Jesus Christ. And if He paid the ultimate price for us, how much more should we give our whole lives to Him? Yeah, was I everything? I like that. I like that word. It's everything. Everything. That means I ain't holding nothing back. Now, there's that wrestling thing. No holds barred. Leave it right there on the side of the road, driveway. Somebody in Utah needed that. you know. But, you know, praise God for that. Praise God for that, because it brought you here. My brother, it brought you here. You're my neighbor. I love you, man. And so, you like it now. Wait till you get to know me. And in 24, brethren, let each one remain with God, okay, and in that state in which you were called. Remember, it doesn't matter if you're a rich man or if you're a poor man. All right, it doesn't matter if you're a religious guy or you didn't know very much about religion at all. When Jesus Christ called you, He reached down from heaven and He touched your heart and He pulled you out of the pains of sin and death, drug addiction, woman abusing, whatever it happens to be, the abuse, the hurt, the pain, He called you out of that. Well, you stay with Jesus Christ because He set you free. Free at last, free at last. Old devil, get off my back. And this is the part that I really didn't want to talk about, but we got time, so I guess I'm going to. I was trying to hold out there in that other part. And I didn't want to talk about it because, all right, I guess I got to give you a little history lesson. Before we get into, in verse 25, it says, "Now concerning virgins, I have no command, but from the Lord, okay? Yet I give judgment as one whom the Lord has mercy and has made trustworthy." Okay, so he's saying that there's no scripture in what he's about ready to tell you about, but he believes, he knows that he is trustworthy to the Lord in which he was called. Okay, so what he's going to tell us here in the next portion of scripture about virgins, maidens, women who have not known the touch of a man, okay, and also the males who haven't known the touch of a woman, virgins, all right? Something you need to know about Corinth. Corinth was a very wicked city. And before the light of the gospel came there, before someone got saved, before Paul went there and started a church, they had a temple of, Aphrodite. Aphrodite. Okay, and the Aphrodite temple was a temple and it's huge. All right, and it's their god was a woman with, like, 20 arms and breasts from her toes to her feet. And they had prostitutes there, temple prostitutes. And as a young lady coming up, coming into her womanhood phase, the parents would bring her to the temple and loan her to the temple to become a prostitute. Okay, that was their religion. That's what they did. Okay, and it's when we think of it, it was horrible, but that's what they were taught. You know, that's like baptizing your children when they're a baby. I mean, it's a religious thing that they did, all right? They didn't know any better until they knew Christ. But once they knew Christ, now here's the new law that's coming down from Paul. Paul's saying, I know what you've done in the past. I know the history here. I know what you've done with your virgins in the past. But I want you to know it's good that if she doesn't touch a man and a man doesn't touch her. And if he's a son, that he doesn't touch a woman until they are married. And when they're married, man, that's the way to get it and get it right. Don't worry about bringing your virgin daughters to the temple of Aphrodite anymore. Don't do that, okay? Because God, Jesus has a better thing for you. And so as he's writing this, I wanted to give you the idea of what was going on. There's a little bit of history in there that this we would call it an abomination. In fact, it was. It was Satan ruining people's lives. Okay? And we have the same thing going on in the streets of America. It's just not in a temple anymore. You know, it's over on... It's accepted, yeah. And back then, it was not only accepted, it was expected. You know, it was, all right, if you belong to this sect, this is what you did. This was the rite of passage, you know. And so he says, "Now concerning virgins, I have no command from the Lord, yet I give judgment as one whom the Lord has mercy and has shown and has made trustworthy. I suppose, therefore, that it is good because of the present distress that it is good for a man to remain as he is." All right, a virgin to remain as he is. "If you are bound to a wife, do not seek to be loose from her. If you're loose from a wife, don't seek to be tied up to another one." All right? The divorce was rampant in that day. And what he's saying is control yourself. Control your vessel. Okay? You are the vessel of God. And if you are not married, don't be looking for a wife. And if you are married, don't be looking to get rid of her to get another one. Back then, you know, they changed wives like men change socks today, once a week, you know? So it's that's what they did. There was no real... I see you finally caught on. Yeah, it took a little while. It took a little while. But, you know, women had no real worth in the unsaved world. Jesus was the first liberator of women. And he came out that they could know him and that they could have a right relationship with God. And he set them free from the bondage, like having to send your daughter up the hill to the temple to become a prostitute. He set them free from that. He set the woman free and gave her the right to be able to hold on to her husband. You know, and he set all these things right. It took a long time for the world to catch up, but Jesus Christ was setting it right, making the woman free from the bondage of religion of the day. And so as he's talking about, if you're loose, don't be tied up. And if you're tied up, don't be seeking to get loose. And 28, but if you do marry, you have not sinned. And if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. Nevertheless, such will have trouble in the flesh. But I would spare you. If you've ever been married, you know what he's talking about. Okay, really and truly. And I love my wife. My wife loves me. And we really don't have any problems that way. But if I were a free man, la di da di da di da di da di da di da di, if you knew Fiddler on the Roof, you'd know that. If I were a rich man. But anyhow, if I were a free man, I wouldn't have to be concerned about my wife's needs. Okay, I could give my whole life to the gospel. Okay, there'd be nothing separating me from that. But I know me well enough that I need a wife. And God gave me like this wonderful chick, man. She's just absolutely fantastic. And he just bound us up together. And we're exactly where we need to be. But Paul, he didn't have a wife at this time. And so he knew the freedom. But he also knew the bondage of marriage. When you are married, when you're married, guys, you just can't go around like you used to. You just can't do it because you got a wife. And women, when you get married, you just can't go around like you used to. Why? Because you got a husband. All right? The old ball and chain. You know, but I love my ball and chain. I do, baby. And we're not ball and chain. We're handcuffs. We're stuck to each other with a little chain in between. One side does, and so you're bad. I love you. Okay, and but even in 28, even if you do marry, you have not sinned or read that. But this I say, brethren, the time is short, so that from now on, even those who have wives should be as though they had none. I didn't know about that. I looked it up and I tried to get some other stuff in it. He's saying if you do have wives, you ought to be like you don't have one. I don't know what that means. I really don't. Let me read it again. And if you can tell me what it means after service, you tell me. In verse 29, but this, I say, brethren, the time is short, so that from now on, even if those who have wives should be as they had none. Those who weep, though they did not weep. Those who rejoice, as though they did not rejoice. Those who buy, as they had not possessed, as they did not possess. And those who use this world as not misusing it, for the form of this world is passing away. I want you to be without a care. In verse 32. He who is unmarried cares for the things of the Lord, but he how he may please the Lord. Okay, but he who is married cares about the things of the world, how he may please his wife. That's what I was talking about a few minutes ago before that piece of scripture that I really don't understand. So if you think pastor knows it all, you're wrong. There's a couple scriptures right there I cannot explain. I don't know what he's talking about, so I ain't going to try it. So the next bit of scripture, I do know what he's talking about, so I'll go there. All right, and it's really simple what he's saying right here. If you're married, you care about the things of the world. I work to please my wife. Why? Because she's my wife, and I love her, and I want to please her. Okay, and she has the same thing. He who marries cares about the things of the world that he may please his wife. And if she's married, she's concerned about the cares of the world because she needs to care for her husband. There is a difference between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman cares about the things of the Lord. that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. Okay? She who is married cares about the things of the world, how she may please her husband. And this I say for your own profit, not that I may put a leash on you. All right, I like that. He's saying it not to bind you up. He's not trying to put a leash on you to stop you from the freedoms that you have, but for what is proper, and that you may serve the Lord without distraction. If any man thinks that he is behaving improperly toward his virgin, if she is past the flower of youth, in other words, an old virgin, and thus it must be, let him do what he wishes. He does not sin. Let them marry. All right? So it's okay to marry an old virgin, I guess. You know, don't worry about it. It's all right. There's no age limit on this thing. I'm sweating up here talking about this. Man, I normally don't lose it like this, but it's like one of those things. And, it's like I don't need to get into this marriage stuff. All right, let me put it this way and really boil it down. We'll close out. All right? This is going to be really cool. God just gave me this. If you're married, stay married. Okay? If you have a wife, you love her like she's a gift from God. And you, as much time as you get, you unwrap that gift. All right, and you take care of that gift. You do the things to that gift that you need to. If you are a virgin, you keep your wrappings on. Okay, don't touch it. It's like Christmas, right? It's Christmas time. You don't unwrap your Christmas presents before Christmas Day. Leave it alone. Leave it alone until the day comes. And when the day comes and it's time to get everything right, then God will bless it and it will be beautiful and you won't have to worry about it. There'll be no curse on it. Okay, and it says right here that there is no age limit. You know, you can be an old one or a young one. It doesn't matter. Keep yourself holy before God. Remain as you are. If you have never known a sexual relationship, stay away from it until God gives you one. Okay? Now, that's the bottom line. I mean, when you look at it and look at it right, that's what he's saying right here. Keep yourself. And you got to remember the culture that they were in is very much like America today. I mean, to find a true American virgin, you got to look below 6 years old. The world, our things here in America are so perverted and messed up. We have taken the righteousness of God and destroyed it with our advertisements. And with Britney Spears look-alike stuff, and these little girls go around thinking that they've got to do these things to hold on to a man because their fathers don't hang around in the marriage the way that they're supposed to. Divorce is rampant, and so these little girls are starving for dad, and so they're willing to do whatever it takes to get that in their life. It was not meant to be this way. It was meant to be one man, one woman, innocent until God brings them together. And when He brings them together, this beautiful thing called marriage happens. And then from that, children and then a godly seed is raised up from that. That's what's supposed to be. Church, what do we got to do? I mean, it's the bride of Christ. I mean, we can't stop the world. And I've said this before. My wife always hates it when I say it, but I'm going to say it again. You can't stop a dog from doing what a dog does. All right? You can't stop it. I don't care. You put pepper on it. You tape it up. Whatever. A dog wants to bite his tail. He's going to bite his tail because that's what dogs do. And you can't stop dogs from doing it. Okay? It doesn't matter. Even if you cut it off to a little nub, he's still going to do it because that's what dogs do. We are the bride of Christ. We're not supposed to do what dogs do. Okay? What we're supposed to do is bring other folks who are trapped by Satan and bring them out of that lifestyle into a life of love and light and a walk with Jesus Christ. So, there you go. Well, Jesus, God does all the saving. We just got to shine the light on as many as we can. We got to be beaming with the love and the power of Jesus Christ, just shining out His grace, His goodness, His long suffering, keeping our vessels pure. You know, keeping our vessels pure. I can't stop what the world does. The world's going to do what the world's going to do. I cannot stop that. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve God.